Welcome to One to Another with Dr. Pete Pavelic on today's edition of One to Another.
I am the Lord your God who teaches you for your benefit, who leads you in the way you should go. It's for your benefit. It's the way you should go. And then look at verse 18. If only you had paid attention. If only you had listened, he said, to my commands, then your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Your descendants would have been as countless as the sand and the offspring of your body like its grains. Their name would not be cut off or eliminated from my presence. The problem was they hadn't listened and they had let go of what God had told them.
Are you paying attention to the commands and directions of your Heavenly Father? In today's message from Pastor Pete, he instructs you to listen to the Lord. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you have been equipped with a spiritual guide. That spiritual guide is the Holy Spirit. He guides, counsels, and illuminates how you are to walk with Him. He will direct you to the things that are pleasing to the Lord. Pastor Pete encourages you to listen to the Spirit, to surrender your will to the Lord's, and to be led by Him. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Pete or help support this program, go to onetoanotherradio.org. Now let's join Pastor Pete in the book of John chapter 16 as he begins part one of his message, Listen to the Guide.
You know, history is filled with stories that could have ended differently had someone just listened. I think about stories that, famous stories, stories like the Titanic, the story of the Titanic. You know, it didn't have to end that way. It didn't have to end with 1,500 people perishing. It didn't have to end with all those people dying. It just didn't have to. They were warned. They knew about the ice. Other ships had warned them. Other people had warned them, but they didn't listen. They didn't pay attention. Could have ended differently, but it didn't because they didn't listen. There's lots of famous stories like that, but I want to tell you today about a lady you've probably never heard of. Her name is Sharia. Sharia was 33 years old and in the absolute best shape of her entire life. She had always dreamed of accomplishing one thing and doing one thing. She wanted to climb Mount Everest and get to the top of the world. On May 18th, 2012, she woke up in her tent at base camp number 4. If you don't know anything about climbing Mount Everest, base camp number 4 is the last place you stop before you go to the summit. It's the highest place on the mountain. You can take a little break, get a little sleep, suck on some oxygen before you push on to the top. She was there, ready to make her dreams come true. And she wasn't alone. That day, over 200 other climbers were also planning on going to the top of the world. Those 200 other climbers had some 300 other people with them, Sherpas, guides, people carrying things along the route. So there were 500 people expected that day to make the ascent. Sher got out of her tent and talked to her guide, and her guide said, "We shouldn't go today." He said, "It's going to be too crowded on the mountain. Let's go tomorrow." He also didn't feel like she was a strong enough climber to endure a day like today was going to be, because due to the number of people, he knew it would take them over 20 hours to get up and back. And he didn't think she had the strength to do it. He also said, "We're starting too late. We're going to be at the back of the line. We're going to be the last ones to get to the top. We're going to be the last ones to get back. And the weather is going to change in about 10 hours, and it's going to make our trek even more difficult." About 10 hours into the trek, the weather was still pretty good, but the Sherpa went to her and said, "We need to turn around." He said, "You're not going to be able to make it. And even if you do make it to the top, I'm scared you're not going to be strong enough to get back to Camp 4. He said, "The weather is going to change. I know it hasn't yet, but it's going to change, and it's going to make this a lot harder than it already is." But she refused and decided to press on. She wouldn't listen. A few hours later, she was warned again, this time by some other guides and some other Sherpas and some other climbers who tried to talk her out of it, but she wasn't a quitter. She was determined to prove them wrong, and you know what she did. On May 18th, 2012, at 2:30 in the afternoon, there she was on top of the world, taking her pictures, and her dreams had come true. She had made it to the summit of Everest. She stayed there about 30 minutes, taking pictures, taking in the view, doing what they do, and then decided to head down back to Camp 4 in the relative safety she could find there. On the way down, though, she started to struggle about an hour in. She was in a lot of pain. She was having trouble staying on her feet. She was on her 9th bottle of oxygen. And her speech had started to become slurred. Her Sherpa guides took turns pulling and pushing and at times carrying her, trying to encourage her to stay on her feet and keep moving. Just as the guide had predicted, the weather took a drastic turn, making the descent even harder. Several more hours passed, and Sharia was unable to move on her own. Standing over her were several Sherpas who had been trying to help her get down the mountain, and they were trying to strategize a way to save her life. She was laying in the snow, looking up, unable to do anything on her own, and the last words she ever spoke were these two: "Save me." But they couldn't. They couldn't save her and save themselves. They were all running out of oxygen. Some of them were completely out. They had no way to get her to Camp 4. She died there in the snow, clamped to the climbing rope, with her face down on May 19th. She was 820 feet from Camp 4. Because despite countless warnings, she did not listen. Four other climbers died on the same day on the same mountain. All of them, just like her, had had many warnings as well, but they failed to listen. Her final words were, "Save me," and I'm sure she didn't see it this way, but the fact is they'd been trying to save her since she woke up that morning. Her guides were trying to save her before she ever started up the mountain with their warnings. They tried to save her halfway in. They tried to save her multiple times by telling her to turn around. Don't go any further. You've got to stop. But she didn't listen, so she died. The big idea for today is this: we all need to listen to and we need to learn from our guide. We need to listen to and we need to learn from our guide. The Holy Spirit is our guide. Jesus said this: "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears. He will also declare to you what is to come." That's John 16:13. He will guide you. Paul declared in Romans 8:14, "For all those led by God's Spirit are God's sons." Who's leading you? Who's guiding you? Who are you listening to this day? Proverbs chapter 4 is our text, starting in verse 10. Hear these words. It says, "Listen, my son, listen. Accept my words and you will live many years. I'm teaching you the way of wisdom. I'm guiding you on straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered." That sure sounds good. "When you run, you will not stumble." That sounds even better, except the running part. But then he says this in verse 13, "Hold on to instruction, don't let it go. Guard it, for it is your life. Keeping off the path of the wicked, don't proceed on the way of the evil ones. Avoid it, don't travel on it, turn away from it and pass it by. For they can't sleep unless they have done what is evil. They are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. They eat the bread of wickedness and they drink the wine of violence." We all need to listen and we all need to learn from our guide. And you know what? Sometimes God allows us to be the guide for other people. Sometimes that's the way the Holy Spirit works. Parents, that's part of your job as a parent. You have a God-given responsibility and role in your home to guide your children to the Lord. Because if you don't guide them, someone will. If you don't guide them, social media will. If you don't guide them, YouTube will. If you don't guide them, their friends will. If you don't guide them, someone will. You're called to guide them. We're called to live our lives like this, where we are in step with God because he's guiding us. And then we're also living our life in a way that we can help guide others. Our text said, "Listen, my son, accept my words and you will live many years. I'm teaching you the way of wisdom. I'm guiding you on straight paths." He's talking to his sons and he's talking to us. All these thousands of years later, this great advice he was giving his sons is still great advice for us today. Let me ask you a question. By show of hands, how many of you have had a godly person at one time or another help guide you in some way? Yeah, me too. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you, by show of hands, at one time or another, have helped guide somebody else in some way? This is the way it's supposed to work. We're supposed to be in tune with God, our guide, and then He helps us guide others when the time arises. But in order for us to do that, we have to listen and we have to learn from our guide. Here in our passage, we find two things that we are encouraged to do, and we find one thing we're encouraged not to do. Let's look at the two we're encouraged to do first. The first is we're encouraged to hold it. We're encouraged to hold on to instruction. There's an important, emphatic command in verse 13. It's not a hard one to understand, but it's a hard one to actually do in our lives. And I'm going to tell you why in just a minute. But here's what it says in verse 13. Hold on to instruction. Don't let go. Hold on to it. Don't let go of it. In other words, it's not enough simply to listen to sound advice. It's not enough to hear wisdom. You have to actually listen to it, and then you have to hold on to it and not let go of it. But the reality is, we're poor listeners, aren't we? Anybody got a poor listener living in their house? Don't point at them. You don't need to point at them. But you know what a poor listener is? Anybody work with a poor listener? If you don't know a poor listener, you're probably the one everybody else is thinking about, right? We're poor listeners. We don't listen particularly good. I've told you guys this story before, but it illustrates the point so well. Not long after Abby and I were married, we were young newlyweds, and we had finished our dinner that evening. And Abby mentioned that we needed a gallon of milk. We were out of milk. We were both eating cereal at that time in our lives, and we wanted milk for breakfast the next day. She said, "We're out of milk. I'm going to have to run to the store and get some." And, you know, I wanted to be a good husband and support my wife, so I said, "I'll go to the store and get a gallon of milk. That's a simple job, right, men? Something I should be able to handle." The truth is, we didn't have a dishwasher, and I didn't want to wash the dishes. That's why I volunteered to go to the store. But I volunteered to go to the store. So I gathered up my things and got ready to head out. And Abby told me, and I remember her telling me this, she said, "A gallon of milk is all we need." She said, "Don't buy anything we don't need because we don't get paid for another week." At that time in our life, like most young people, young newlyweds, money was really tight. It was really hard to come by. We were living on a very strict budget. We were trying to pay debt off. We just didn't have a whole lot. And she said, "Don't buy anything we don't need because we don't get paid for another week." So I said, "Okay, no problem. Gallon of milk, off I go." So I go, I get in the store, I go right to where the milk is. I get the gallon of milk, I put it in my hands, and then a thought crossed my head. I said, "You know what? It's almost deer season, and I'm gonna need a hunting license, and there's not many people in the store right now, so I bet there's no line. I'm just gonna go grab my hunting license because I need that, right?" So I started walking from where the milk was to where the deer license was, which is on the other side of the store. And as I made that walk, I saw it. A 27-inch flat screen TV. Now, this was a long time ago, y'all, and I know some of y'all are like, "Flat screen TVs, no big deal." But I'm telling you, back then, flat screen TV was a big deal. It was a really big deal. Flat screen TVs back then were like $2,000, $3,000. Maybe occasionally you'd find one for like $1,500 or $1,800. Like, only the richest of the rich had flat screen TVs. And I had never in my life dreamed I would have a flat screen TV. I mean, this is back when all the TVs, or most of the TVs in the store, were still the big tube TVs. And there would be like two or three flat screens you could pick from. But there it was, 27-inch flat screen TV right out in the middle of the aisle I was walking down for $998. It was on sale. And I said, "That puppy is for me." And she said not to buy anything we don't need, but we needed it. Because our old tube TV had actually gone out a month before. We didn't have a TV. And so in my pea brain, I thought, "You know what? We really need that. And it's on sale and it's a good deal. And I wanted a flat screen TV." So I bought it. I got home. I'll never forget walking in with that gallon of milk and telling Abby I had to go back and get the TV. She said, "TV, I told you to get a gallon of milk." So I got the gallon of milk and a flat screen TV. She said, "A flat screen?" Carried that thing in. She didn't yell at me. It wasn't a fight. But, you know, I could tell she was a little disappointed that I had swiped that credit card to get that flat screen TV. Y'all think that's bad? Another time, I went to buy some rabbit cages. This lady had these rabbit cages on sale on Facebook Marketplace, and I needed some more rabbit cages for some rabbits. So I said, I'm going to go. If I can get a good deal, I'm going to buy them from her. Abby said, okay, good. So I left the house. I came back. She said, did you get a good deal? I said, nah, not really. She was really firm on the price. She didn't want to come down. I bought them anyway. It's a good enough deal. I said, didn't get a very good deal on those cages, but I think I got a good deal on the house. And she said, what? And I said, yeah, I told her we'd buy her house. And she said, you said what? And I said, I told her we'd buy her house. It's the house we've been praying for like 3 years. It's perfect for our family. We've been looking for a house for a long time. She said, you're kidding me. I said, no. She said, you can come look at it if you want, but we're going to buy her house. So we loaded up. We went over and looked at it, and she loved it. We still live there today. That's how we got our house. I went to buy a rabbit cage, and I bought a house instead. So that's what living with me is like, ladies. So just don't think Abby has it so great. The bottom line is we're not real good listeners, are we? We're easily distracted. We don't hold on to instruction very well. It's easy for us to get on a path we didn't intend to get on. It reminds me of scriptures like Isaiah 48:17 that says this. This is what the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel says. I am the Lord your God who teaches you for your benefit, who leads you in the way you should go. It's for your benefit. It's the way you should go. And then look at verse 18. If only you had paid attention. If only you had listened, he said, to my commands, then your peace would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Your descendants would have been as countless as the sand, and the offspring of your body like its grains. Their name would not be cut off or eliminated from my presence. The problem was they hadn't listened, and they had let go of what God had told them. In this time in history, the people of God had totally rejected the law of God. They had rejected the commands of God. They had rejected the instruction of the Lord. They had not held on to what they knew was true and righteous and holy. And instead, they just let go of it and did what they wanted to do. And that put them on a path that was not a good path. In fact, if you go back to Isaiah chapter 5, we can see that they just let go of what God gave them. Isaiah 5:24, therefore as a tongue of fire consumes straw and as dry grass shrivels in the flame, so their roots will become like something rotten, and their blossoms will blow away like dust. For they have rejected the instruction of the Lord of armies. They didn't hold on to it. And they have despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. And because they did that, it put them on a path of pain, a path of suffering, a path of tragedy. Because they did not hold on to the instruction they had received, because they did not listen to their guide, they ended up at a destination they never wanted to be at. You see, it's possible to end up on the wrong path due to our ignorance. I've been on that path before. I've gotten on paths that weren't the right path just because I was ignorant. But you know what? If we're honest, most of the time it's not our ignorance, it's our arrogance that gets us on the wrong path. Because we think we know better than God. We think we know better than that old-fashioned Bible book that everybody talks about and wants me to read. But golly, it was written so long ago, it can't have much to say to me today. We think we know better than our parents and our grandparents. That's not ignorance, that's arrogance. We think we know better than our Sherpas who are trying to get us to the summit, so we press on because we know better. We don't hold on to the wisdom and the instruction we have received. We let it go. And then we end up on a path we don't want to be on. That's why I'm telling you, we all need to listen and we all need to learn from our guide. The Spirit is our guide. God's Word is our guide, and we need to listen and hold on to it. Don't let it go. Even if there's a shiny TV on sale, don't just better hold on. Okay. Number two, we got to guard it. We got to guard it, not just hold it, but we got to guard it. Guarding it's a little bit different than holding it. The Hebrew word here for holding on to it means to hold on strongly with great intent, to take hold of something. The Hebrew word for guard here is a little bit different. It's used about 60 times in Scripture. And it's a very serious word. It's a word that can be used in a variety of ways, but it basically means to watch something closely. We might say today, keep a close eye on it. Keep a close eye on it. It's used like this in Proverbs 13. The one who guards, keeps a close eye on his mouth, protects his life. The one who opens his lips invites his own ruin. Or Psalms 141, which says, "Lord, set up a guard for my mouth. Watch it closely, Lord. Keep watch at the door of my lips." Another example would be Nahum 2:1, which says, "One who scatters is coming up against you. Man the fortifications. Watch the road. Keep a close eye on it. Brace yourself. Summon all your strength." The idea is that you are watching something with the intent to protect it. You're keeping a close eye on it in order to protect it. Our text teaches us that to walk a straight path, we have not to only hold on to the instruction of the Lord, but we've got to guard it. We've got to keep a close eye on it. And there's a reason for that. And it's an important reason. Look at verse 13 again. "Hold on to instruction. Don't let go. Guard it, for it is your life." That's the reason we hold on to it and we guard it. It is your life. That sounds important. And I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking, "Oh, come on, Pastor. I'm not going to die if I don't listen to God. I'm not going to die if I don't listen to the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to die if I don't listen to my guide. I mean, I'm not going to die just because I didn't listen once or twice or got on a path that I knew I probably shouldn't go down." Well, you know, that's exactly what Sharia thought, too. She died 800 feet from camp. It also sounds exactly like what the devil told Eve in the garden. You remember that? "No, you will certainly not die," he told her. "In fact, God knows that when you eat, your eyes are going to be opened and you're going to be like God, knowing good and evil. Just eat it. You're not going to die. That's a joke." Church, when God says, "Trust me," when God says, "Take me at my word," when God says, "Hold on to my instruction," when God says, "Guard my instruction, for this is your life," he ain't messing around. He is being very, very serious, because if you don't, you will end up with your face in the snow, sucking on an empty bottle of oxygen, wondering, "How did I get here?"
You've been listening to One to Another, and we're glad you were here with us today. Did you know that the messages you're hearing are airing locally, but also across the nation? This is only made possible by our wonderful listeners, like you. One to Another Radio is listener-supported, and that means we rely on financial support to allow these teachings to be heard near and far. If you're enjoying what you're hearing, would you prayerfully consider partnering with this radio ministry and becoming part of the financial team of One to Another? For any first-time donations this month, we'd like to bless you with a gift of the month. That way, we can show our sincere appreciation for your heart to give to the ministry. Go to onetoanotherradio.org to learn more. While you're there, you'll notice a wealth of resources that Gwen is going to discuss a little more.
At onetoanotherradio.org, there are all kinds of things that will feed your spiritual appetite. Just go to the Resources tab and you'll find several books that Pastor Pete has written. One or more of those might be just what you need to read as it relates to what you're going through. Also, on the website's main page, you can scroll down to the bottom to find out if there are any upcoming trips planned. Pastor Pete regularly takes groups to the Holy Land and other interesting places for biblical tours. If this interests you, take some time to think and pray about whether this is something that God would be leading you into. Once more, all of these opportunities and resources are detailed for you at onetoanotherradio.org. Here's Phil again to close the show.
Thanks, Gwen. The Holy Land can be such a fascinating journey to experience. The path you're walking may be leading you right to the place of being ready for this. If you have additional questions, feel free to call us at 830-769-3733. Once more, give us a call at 830-769-3733. Thanks so much for listening today to One to Another with Dr. Pete Pavelic. Join us next time as Pastor Pete will continue teaching through this series, imparting wisdom and sharing God's truths, asking you to bring a heart that's overflowing with the value and appreciation of who God is as He sticks with us on this path. So don't miss the next edition. We can't wait to connect with you again as we learn what it means to follow God all the days of our lives. Thanks for listening to One to Another.